You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 3rd of December. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you loud and recorded from my apartment in Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Wayne McCurry, OPEC Plus wants to up oil production, BHP unification, and what about that Implats increase stake in RB Plats? Lau Sanker, fund manager at PSG Asset Management, on how inflation changes our investment approach, and some thoughts on leisure stocks. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Ford SA injects $600 million into its Gqeberha engine plants. This follows the $15.8 billion being pumped into expanding its Silverton plant and supplier tooling investments announced in February, mostly cars for export. Business Day, new Rebosis boss paints cautiously optimistic retail property picture. Things can only get progressively better, says Otis Shabalala. Morning markets, we've got the US was green overnight, S&P up 1.4%, NASDAQ up 0.7%. Asia mixed, Sydney up 0.2, Tokyo down 0.2. Commodities also mixed, gold 1,774, Brent 70.44. It was way low, it was down in the 66 at some point last night. Palladium 1,778, Rand 15.97. Top 40 opening call, looking for a red open, but 80 points down. That is 10 cent trades, 2.8% lower in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, F&B Wealth and Investment. Wayne, appreciate your early morning this morning. I'm going to kick off with OPEC Plus announcing yesterday that they were going to be hiking production in January. I got to say, I thought they might actually sit on their hands a bit. It's only 400,000 barrels, and they did also make the point that they reserve the right to change their mind. But that certainly sees oil under pressure, and come January, perhaps even our petrol price coming down.
Yes, look, everything stays the same now with a more stable rand, and certainly oil down at 70. Remember, I mean, 2 months ago it was 84. We should see a price reduction. And I think personally that OPEC's doing the right thing for their own sort of delay the inevitable, because when you pay 1,300 rand to fill up your car, you start thinking about an electric vehicle.
Yeah, it's that move, and they're looking down the road and saying we need to keep this. What would be their ideal price? Somewhere in the 60s is probably a price that makes everybody kind of happy enough.
Yes, because they certainly can't go below 50, because then they don't balance their books. So that's the sort of flaw. So I agree with you, somewhere in the 60s, yes.
Announcement out from BHP yesterday. They're going to unify their dual structure. This is, they've got that dual listing in Australia and in London. For shareholders, truthfully, largely a non-event.
Yes, very much so. I mean, that's just sort of reorganizing the corporate structure. It's actually nothing now.
Yeah. And then the other big story out, which keeps on coming back, and is the Implats sort of going after Royal Buffer King. They're upping their stake there. It's not hostile in the traditional sense, but it certainly is a bit of a tussle for an asset, which we don't often see in our market.
No, we don't often see it. I mean, we all know what happened is that Northam went directly to the holding company and got a pledge of their shares.
Yeah.
And then Impala went to institutional investors and got pledges and actually buying shares. Look, it does honestly make more sense for Impala to buy Royal Buffer King, because they can have far more, they can rationalize their operations far more, because they're right next door to each other. But everyone's looking for longer term assets, and we're going to see a lot more of it, because essentially the mining companies didn't spend any money between, I suppose, 2015 and 2020. You know, they just didn't spend any money on CapEx to expand their lifespan. So everyone's going to be doing this. So this is only this, the, the start. I mean, this is unusual, but that money is going to be spent here, either in brownfields, greenfields, or acquisitions.
And it is. I mean, it might not be top of the market, although top of the market, as we can see right now, and PGMs was back, June, around about then. Mm. It doesn't feel like when the deals were happening in the top in 2007, 08, which really felt that companies were overpaying. This seems maybe a little rich, but not disastrous as it did back then. Am I reading it fair?
I do agree with you, yes. I mean, they've got to spend money. And, of course, the only time they can spend money is when they've got it. So that's why they normally do spend at the top of the cycle, you know, and they don't spend at the bottom of the cycle because they're all half bankrupt. But, yes, it's got to happen. But I do agree with you. It doesn't seem quite as frantic as what we saw in 2008.
Yep, that was the word I was looking for. 2008 was absolutely frantic. This does seem a little more considered. A last question. We're finally into December. There was lots of talk about a December rally. I think probably, I don't know, my sense is cancelled. Probably a fairly volatile December as we try and work out what this new variant, what the actual impact is going to be.
Yes, and I think so, yes. But understand, I don't get this panic over the new variant. It's not the first variant, and it won't be the last variant. Yep. And it's not the first time we've encountered the virus. So, yeah, I actually don't get it. I mean, there'll probably be a very effective vaccine out literally in months. Mm-hmm. And everything that I read, and it's still early days, and of course I'm an absolute expert in this, but everything that I read says it may be more transmissible, but there's no evidence so far that it's more deadly.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I take you on that. Maybe there's actually opportunity more than fear out there. Wayne McCurry, not an epidemiologist, but certainly a senior portfolio manager, FNB Wealth and Investment. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Lyle Sankar, fund manager at PSG Asset Management. Lyle, appreciate your time today. A note that came out, I think it was just over a week or so ago, about rethinking portfolios for the next decade, particularly in light of inflation that we're seeing around the world. I suppose let's kick off with some of that history of inflation. If we start in the US, I mean, we've seen, sub 2% inflation there for a decade plus now, and that is probably over.
Yes, Simon, and thanks for having me today. I think that's the key question right now that the market's grappling with, and I think perhaps it's important to just sort of ground the discussion in why it's actually important. I think, you know, if you're looking at the market, inflation tends to drive returns, and if you look at the fixed income space specifically, bond deals will track inflation. So, you know, in a world where inflation is quite low, as you mentioned, for the last 10 years in the US, there's no real need to sort of chase coupons because you don't have inflation that can erode that over time. And we think this is where the dynamic has potentially changed. If we look back at the US, I think, you know, 2% inflation target that's been underachieved for the last 10 years is seen as the norm. But we think if you look back at the last few decades, inflation's actually been closer to 4% on average. And so in our minds, this is actually not the norm. And there are big factors in play that can change this going forward.
Yeah, as you point out, I mean, it's been an unnatural decade. And post the global financial crisis, we understand that some of the drivers behind that low inflation. If we bring it back to the South African context, I mean, we've had inflation targeting now for just over two decades. It's pretty much worked. But a really great stat that you make in the note that you wrote is that actually if we look at individual months, almost half of them were outside of the band. And of course, they were above the band, not below.
Yes, that's correct. And I think, I mean, core to our thesis is the Reserve Bank. I think, you know, it goes unsaid that their actions have been world-class in recent years in ensuring inflation credibility. So I think, you know, the first point that I'd pick out in inflation in SA is that the market got really used to a 6% inflation target. But we think, you know, as you've seen now, the market's closer to that 4.5%, which has a big impact on, you know, the type of asset classes you're investing in the income space. The second point on that is that, you know, if you look at the volatility, as you mentioned, around that 6% mark, we think that volatility is, you know, reduced quite significantly, which means as a bond investor, you're more likely to get a bit more confidence around your inflation beating returns going forward.
And that also means, if we quickly touch on rates, we've seen a rate increase. It was just a quarter of a percent. But it also suggests that probably we're not importing any inflation because there's very little demand in South Africa. Certainly the commodity boom, yeah, that might have some implications, some sort of second round effects. But we can likely expect to see interest rates also staying probably lower, maybe not coming back down, but lower than we're used to if we look back a decade or two or three ago.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that's the key message that we sort of talking through is that in SA, we don't think it's necessary that the SARB needs to get back, you know, to 7% on the repo rate, just given the factors we've mentioned on inflation. So the dynamics change. The expectations are lower. So if you think about, you know, typical asset classes that would do quite well, you know, your cash, your money market instruments or money market funds, corporate bonds, which do well when the repo rate is quite high, we think that's going to be a long time, if not, you know, where the SARB doesn't get back to 7% before you start earning very good yields there. And you know, in that kind of world where bonds are giving you, you know, 3% to 6% real yields, on very short bonds, we think that's probably the better area for investors to be focused on.
That's just it. I mean, and you do also, you talk around multi-asset income funds, and they're becoming attractive. We're looking at them, and for those who are looking for that sort of yield or that sort of perhaps slightly safer asset class, they really are starting to look quite attractive. And I think they've probably been ignored a fair bit over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is a category of funds that actually, you know, received quite a bit of flow in the last year. And I think the key message that we like to, you know, impart with clients is that in that space, you can actually be very flexible with the way you utilize government bonds. So, you know, when we look at the market valuations now, we would have a lot less than we would have had in the past in that shorter term instrument. Where I think if you can get a 5 to 6% yield, which isn't enough for clients, I think, you know, you do well. We'd rather have a bias to these government bonds, but then you need the vehicle that can, you know, be fully flexible, which means, you know, taking on some duration risk and interest rate sensitivity, which we will be, you know, overweight at this point. I think, you know, in that portfolio, I guess the comparison would be to a, you know, typical bond fund. I think what you can do there is sort of create a more balanced portfolio where you don't have to be in the highest yielding or the longest dated bonds. There's enough, you know, valuation attractiveness in the 5 to 10 year area of the curve. And that's where we think you can exploit it through that fund, but being overweight bonds relative to where you would have been in the past.
You mentioned duration risk. Enlighten us what your meaning is in duration risk.
Yeah, so apologies for that. So duration risk is simply, you know, when interest rates rise, you know, that's the sensitivity of the portfolio against that. So when interest rates rise, you lose. And conversely, we think where bond yields now are trading now, you're probably in a scenario where bond yields will revert lower going forward. So you want a bit more interest rate sensitivity now so that you can generate good returns.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. A last question, and a point you made in the note as well, is that GDP growth this year, 2021, is surprising to the upside. We've still got some data to come, but what we've seen so far has looked better. And that's notwithstanding a tough year. The violence in July, of course, pandemic is still with us. But you're actually saying that it might even surprise again to the upside in 2022.
Yes, I think, I mean, we aren't necessarily painting blue skies for South Africa, but I think if you look at the budget, I mean, the budget is projecting around 1.7% growth for the next few years, and that alone gets us to some sort of consolidation. So the budget is very much in line with what we would think in terms of messaging, but a little bit of uplift from this changed global backdrop, like you saw this year, reflation globally tends to do well for emerging markets. We think, you know, 1.7% might be a little bit low. But again, you know, just emphasizing, we don't need a lot of growth for a lot of the asset classes in SA to do quite well. you're really receiving 9 to 11% yields on the bond curve, which is quite high relative to where inflation is.
Yeah, no, that is a good chunky, proper return that one's getting. We'll leave it there. Lao Sanka, fund manager, PSG Asset Management, really appreciate the time. Chatting there with Lal about adjusting your portfolio as we start to accommodate higher inflation, which particularly in the US, we haven't seen in a very, very long time, a decade or longer. Question on our LinkedIn and Twitter poll today. Have you been making changes to your portfolio with inflation in mind? Have your vote, have your say at MoneyWeb on LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Some thoughts for the week. This time last week, we were a little bit, I suppose, naive around what was going to happen with the new variant. We had seen the announcement on the Thursday afternoon. We had seen some borders closing overnight Thursday, and certainly Asian markets were looking a little rattled. Last Friday, our market got fairly aggressively sold off. The US was half day because of Thanksgiving, and truthfully, many people were making it a full day holiday. But we did see leisure stocks down 10, 15, 20% early Friday morning. They've bounced, still below low levels where they were ahead of it. I got to say, I was buying some leisure. I bought some City Lodge. I bought some Sun International. I would have liked Soho Sun, the gaming or the hotels, but they didn't get to the prices that I was particularly looking for. Two things. One is it's important to know what you're looking for and the prices that you want to pay, because suddenly markets offer it to you and you haven't got time to be scrambling around and looking at the valuations, etc. City Lodge had put out a sense around occupancies, where they spoke around how from November they were getting a 45% occupancy. Now, pre-pandemic, they were break-even at about 35-38%. Post-pandemic, that number might be lower, right? They might have got better efficiencies, perhaps laid off some staff. They've got rid of East Africa, so maybe a little lower. Let's call it low 30s. Means that they were, for November, operating in profit. Of course, the new variant, lockdowns, changes everything. But I'm taking a longer-term view here. A year, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, who knows, sort of looking through the pandemic. And I knew what prices I wanted to pay. And I think I got prices that were attractive, that were looking good at that particular point. Make no mistake, it's a risky trade, because at this point, we simply don't know. Even now, a week later, we're hearing lots of talk. We've got Moderna saying the vaccines won't work. Truthfully, the CEO is talking his book. We've got Pfizer saying, if they don't work, no worries, we can fix one quick. Early evidence, the new variant, very, very contagious. But how much sicker does it or doesn't it make us? The vaccine story, there's a lot of unknown. We're going to probably see some volatility for a little bit longer. As Gary said, Gary Boyson was talking, and he made the comment, you know what? Essentially, Santa Rally is cancelled, but also markets were stretched. Maybe they were looking for a reason to be getting out and taking some profits. So I've got myself some leisure. It's been a long wait. We'll see how it goes. It's going to be volatile, and I think we're going to see ourselves with a very volatile December. And a quick last thought on the unemployment data that came out earlier in the week. About a third of South Africans unemployed, almost half are either unemployed or given up work, the expanded variation. Unemployment, our single biggest challenge. Lots of debates on how to fix it and the like. What I'm not seeing is actually fixing it. We need to employ people for all the reasons we understand. That is the single biggest crisis facing our country and our politicians at this point. That's it for today. A poll yesterday, we were chatting with Michelle Dickens from TPN about residential retail market, rental market rather. They had their Q3 report out, and it's looking grim. We asked your experience if you're renting out property. About 40% agreed. Yeah, very tough. About a fifth of you said, actually, no, we're doing okay. It's all about getting the right tenants. Fair point. Not easy, but good point. And then the rest of you, about another 40%, said, nope, not for me. I've got to say, I fall into that bunch. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.